So good afternoon. My name is Gert Lankriet. I'm from the Electrical and Computer Engineering Department. My background is machine learning. I've been in that field for about 15 years right now. Somehow the less sexy synonym for big data. So it's very exciting to be here today. So I feel a little bit like a plumber here today with like a big toolkit and like hearing about all these interesting applications of big data. And so I'm very much interested in applications. And so that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to focus on one particular item, which is finding matches in big data. And I'll show you a couple applications that I'm very interested in, you know, in that space. But beyond that, I'm certainly interested in other applications of machine learning over big data as well. So first application is in the music space. When I arrived here in San Diego, I started the Computer Audition Lab, which is a lab where we automate music search and recommendation. The idea being, there's tons of music data out there, and we want to build systems that recommend music to people automatically, like basically help people to find the music they like from these tens of millions of options they have out there that are available online. Even if people don't know the name of an artist or a song title, we still want to help them to find, you know, a happy rock and roll song when they're working out in the gym, a romantic song when they come home from a date, or something else under different circumstances. And so the idea here is can we, you know, can we do this? Can we mine the web and provide information to people like that? The two mechanisms that we're looking at is, first of all, imagine that people are creative enough to actually type in what they want. Then we want to build a search engine like a Google for music. People provide a natural language query and where we respond with, you know, songs that are like specified by the query. And the other system that we're looking into is where people specify queries that consist of one or more songs that they like or would like to listen to right now, and then we will generate a playlist of similar songs picked from a database of millions of songs. Okay, and this is really where, you know, what we need to do is we need to somehow find matches in our database that match these seed songs. Right. So how do we do that? Well, basically finding matches is a stepwise process. The first thing we need to do is we need to extract descriptors from the items that we're interested in. Here in this case, we have to extract descriptors from songs. Then we have to use some machine learning to figure out which of these descriptors are the most informative and the most predictive ones to pick good matches. And then we need to try to do this efficiently from, you know, really large databases. Now, in terms of extracting descriptors, one of the things one can do is try to just extract like spectral features and all these kind of things that describe timbre and harmony of the music. But something which is also really interesting, I think, is trying to actually build systems that come up with some higher level descriptions of these songs. Like, for example, describing songs in terms of tags, genre tags, mood tags, instrument tags, or usage tags, for example. And what we want to do here is we want to build this black box, which is basically a computer algorithm that can automatically listen to millions of songs in our database and automatically tag them with tags from these categories, like this. And if we can do this for millions of songs, then we can actually build an annotated database and we can use these tags to help people find the music they like. If people specify a natural language query, we can just match the tags from the query with the tags in the database and provide a playlist. Or if people provide us with a seed song, we can tag the seed song and basically recommend songs with similar tags to build a playlist. This is exactly what Pandora does, in fact. The difference is that they build that database manually and not with a computer. Okay. Of course, we could also just, you know, use low-level audio features to try to do this type of matching, which comes with extra complications. I'm not going to go into too much more detail here about it. And of course, we could try to use all this information together. In fact, we could even try to use more information. We could try to use videos, pictures of bands, social network information, and things like that to try to come up with good matches between songs and make playlists, make recommendations to people. And so the big challenge here is like, you know, there's a ton of information out there, but which is the most relevant one to make these matches? Right? And so that's where, you know, we use techniques like machine learning. All right. One more thing I want to say about this here is that, you know, when it comes to recommending music to people, it turns out that they actually prefer to not provide a query at all. What they would love is having like a radio station that follows them throughout the day and kind of like, you know, adapts the music to their mood or their activity automatically without them having to provide any kind of query. And so motivated by that, one of the things that we're looking into right now is to actually use mobile sensors on either smartphones or other sensors like the one that Nathan was just talking about to try to figure out what is the activity of the user, what is their mood, and then, you know, do recommendations based on that. So if we figure out that the user is energetic, we'll recommend songs based on that. We can figure out that a user is just kind of like mellowing down late at night, and we'll provide recommendations that are more appropriate for that. The reason why I'm mentioning this as well is because clearly, like, you know, technology like that has a wide variety of applications, not just to, you know, music recommendation, but for sure also in the health space. And this is one of the things that, you know, I'm particularly interested in as well. I'm not going to kind of elaborate on this today, but I just wanted to mention that given that there's a lot of people in the health space in the audience here. And now last but not least, there's kind of a very different direction that I recently took with this, you know, finding matches in big data. But let me start out with a question. So how many of you in the room here are researchers, consider themselves as researchers, students included? Okay, so follow-up question here is like, do you rather spend your time in the lab working on your research, or do you want to spend your time writing grants? I think it's an obvious answer. Moreover, would you all agree with me that federal funding is becoming increasingly challenging? At least I've been experiencing that. So one of the things that I started doing about a year ago was I was starting to wonder, like, okay, so it's you know, consuming a lot of time to raise funding, and federal funding is more challenging. So is there alternative funding sources? And of course there are. Think about corporations, fund foundations, provide funding for research. And in fact, also philanthropists are ready to donate money to research. But the big question for us researchers, at least that's what I found, is how do we find these people? You know, most of the time, the way it works is, you know, you organize a meeting, you have a coffee break or a dinner, you drink a couple beers, you meet people, you build a relationship, and that's how it happens half of the time, right? And I was thinking, like, well, okay, so that's pretty much actually how people meet their partners in life as well. And what happened in the past 5 to 10 years is that there was actually an online systems that have been developed to make that easier. Think about eHarmony, think about OkCupid and other similar types of systems, right? So anyways, that's one side of the story. The other side of the story is, let's say that in this audience here, how many of you would consider donating to research? I'm not sure, maybe everybody here is like a researcher, but the reason why I'm asking this question here, that there's actually a lot of people that I have met giving talks that actually would come to me and tell me, like, hey, this is really cool, what you're doing would actually be really nice to kind of, you know, provide some funding for that. And I was like truly surprised, like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Either because, you know, they were interested in following up on the research that I'm doing and build a certain type of relationship with me, a longer-term type of engagement. Either because they just were interested in having a tax deduction and they thought that was a good cause for that. Or because they were just really fascinated about the research. But the big challenge, it seems to be, for people like that is to really find good causes for them to fund. Okay? So basically, what I'm trying to kind of sketch out here is that we're, you know, facing another matching problem, right? So on one side, there's researchers that are doing really cool research, right, that a lot of people are actually interested in, but people don't often know about. And on the other hand, there's actually a lot of donors out there, be it corporations, foundations, or philanthropists, that may be really interested in funding that research. And what we need to do is we need to try to somehow, you know, foster that relationship, create it, make these matches. Okay, and so for that purpose, we started a project, BenaFunder, powered by a startup company called Pushing Innovation. And basically, the goal here is to do some sort of philanthropic funding platform for academic research. Some people have told me it's like a Kickstarter for research, but it's not. It's quite different. Kickstarter is a crowdfunding platform that funds projects. What this is about, it's about funding people. It's about matching people with people. Philanthropists, corporations, somehow people are foundations, right, led by certain people. Match them with researchers and create long-term relationships and engagements between these donors and the researchers so that there's recurrent funding coming in to those researchers. Okay? And so as opposed to a crowdfunding platform, we also want to target very specific channels here. So we don't want to just have like a platform that reaches out to the crowd, but we want to work through investment banks and financial advisors to actually reach out to these philanthropists, where financial advisors will be able to use our platform to actually match some of their clients with some of the research that is happening in academia. We want to reach out to corporations that are looking for, you know, certain specific types of research that they maybe can easily find. Okay? So the bottom line of this here is, and I will wrap it up very quickly now, is that what I'm, you know, trying to do with, you know, kind of, you know, big data application here is enable donors to connect with causes, with researchers, with people that matter to them. Maybe the wife of the donor had diabetes and the donor is really interested in being connected with a diabetes researcher and wants to fund that person, right, for example. So this is another big data matching problem here, which besides matching donors with researchers could actually generate data that could also help us to match researchers with researchers. After all, if we have the data, if we have information about researchers and about donors and use that to match them, we could also use it to match donors with each other. Anyways, I realize that I've really pushed it on time a little bit here. So if you have any more questions about this, feel free to contact me. This is my contact information. Thank you very much.